I was driving in with Beverly this morning. I turned to her and said, after Easter Sunday, what is there left to say? But grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this Sunday after Easter, our title is, I Doubt It. Based on our gospel reading from John chapter 20, especially finding our theme in verses 24 and 25, which read, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Again, our title is, I Doubt It. Doubting Thomas. Don't be such a doubting Thomas. How many times have you either heard those words or spoken those words in seriousness or even in jest? Don't be such a doubting Thomas. But at a deeper level, these phrases deal with an area in each of our lives, even the Sunday after Easter. These phrases deal with an area in each of our lives that causes each of us untold pain and untold sorrow. The inability to believe in something or to trust someone. In our sermon today, we will talk about the Apostle Thomas, the doubter, and we will see ourselves in him. We will hear the risen Jesus speak to us the same words he first spoke to Thomas. And with Thomas, we will move from, I doubt it, to, yes, Lord, I believe. Thomas, how could you? How could you doubt? You know, to be honest, I used to not have a lot of sympathy for Thomas. How could he? He had known Jesus. He had listened to his voice. He had felt his touch. He had walked right by his side. Thomas, how could you doubt? That's what I used to think. But as I've gotten a little older, I'm not so quick today to put Thomas down. How can I doubt? How can you doubt? Today, just 1 week after Easter, just 1 week after we have celebrated the resurrection gospel, doubt is our ready companion. And doubts can come far too easy for each of us. More than we want to admit, Thomas is our middle name. Oh, we probably don't have the same doubts as Thomas. For most of us, we don't seriously doubt Jesus' resurrection. That we can trust without much reservation. But our doubts are different, and yet they hurt us nonetheless. Our doubts are usually centered on things much simpler than Easter, much less mundane, much more mundane than the resurrection. Our doubts are focused on the here, the now, the today. Our doubts are focused in our relationships, our finances, our children, our work, our schooling, our aging, our health. Now be honest with yourselves. And be honest with your God this morning. What are your areas of doubt? What areas in your life do you have a hard time entrusting into the hands of Jesus? Our doubts and our fears in these little things lead us to bigger questions. Lead us to deeper questions. Questions like, where are you, God, in this mess? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Like Thomas, we need assurance. Like Thomas, we need the resurrection gospel. Listen to the text. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came right through and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." We need to see the nail prints. We need to see the gaping spear wound. We need to hear our Lord say to us those wonderful words, "Peace be with you." But wait. Wait. We've heard and seen such things. Just last Easter Sunday. And yet, we doubt. Why? Despite the resurrection gospel, despite the risen Lord, despite the Easter celebration, we have been looking for assurances in all the wrong places. Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of your putting your trust in worldly institutions? Work lets us down. Our government lets us down. Our church and the people within her walls let us down. Hey, Thomas, are your doubts the results of trusting in other people? Our spouse lets us down. Our children let us down. We let ourselves down. And when our trust is placed in any of these directions, and they fail us, and oh, they will fail us, then doubts rush in to fill the vacuum. And we ask questions like, where are you, God, in this mess? And when, God, when? And why, God, why? Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of looking for security in personal circumstances, in things like good feelings, lack of problems, constant good health, others always liking you? These things let us down, and they melt away as quickly as snow on a sidewalk after a day of plus 10 degrees. And again, we blame God. Where are you, God? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey, Thomas, you've been looking for human solutions, for temporary, fleeting, quick fixes. Not at the nail prints. Not at the nail prints. Hey, Thomas, that's not what the resurrection is all about. The nail prints and the wounded side don't give us that kind of assurance. The nail prints and the wounded side do not promise us lack of problems, constant good feelings, never-ending affection from others. But into a locked room filled with disciples, into a locked room filled with disciples, filled with doubts and fears, locked doors because of their fear, Jesus came and spoke to them these words, "Peace be with you. I am with you." Into a doubt-filled and lock-feared life of Thomas, Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. I am with you. And into the doubt-filled and fear-locked lives of each of us Thomases today, Jesus comes and says the same words. Peace be with you. I am with you. Yes, Jesus still comes to Thomas's. Listen to the text. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him and said, you are my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and still have believed. John continues, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. And so today, through the preaching of the gospel, through his body and blood of the Lord's Supper, through the waters of holy baptism, the risen, victorious Jesus comes to stand in our midst today. And do you hear what he's saying to you? He's saying to you, peace be with you. I am with you. He comes to us that believing we might have life. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe, not in perfect institutions, not in perfect feelings or perfect health or perfect relationships or life without troubles, but blessed are those who believe in a heavenly Father who has created us and even now sustains us, in his Son who has died and risen for us, in the Spirit who creates and nurtures faith in our heart so that believing we might have life in Jesus' name. Jesus himself is the life. All through this same John's gospel, we hear Jesus saying these things. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. For Thomases like you and me, today, Jesus brings life. He brings the gift of himself. He comes to us today into our locked rooms. He comes to us today right through our locked doors of fear. And he says to each of us today those same wonderful words. Do you hear him? To you he says, peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem, I am with you. The nail prints he shows us today tell us with strength and with gentleness, you do not have to strive hopelessly to find peace and security where it cannot be found. In John 10:10, Jesus says these words, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, what is abundant life? Well, instead of impressing you or confusing you with some fancy theological formulations, let me relate to you a true story that illustrates what it means to have abundant life in Christ. It was quite a few years ago, and a number of pastors and church workers had gathered at a retreat center, and the major speaker of the day was a middle-aged pastor. And when he came up to the podium to speak, we also discovered he was a man without any arms. His coat sleeves were carefully folded and tucked into the pocket of his suit. And then he did an amazing thing. Standing on his left foot, he gently slipped his foot out of his right shoe and with his toes turned the pages of the Bible as easily as you or I would with our hands. And then he told his life story. He was born without arms. But early on as a young boy, he knew that he wanted to become a pastor when he grew up. But he was discouraged by everybody he talked to. They said, well, how could you even do the simplest of things in ministry? How could you baptize anybody if you don't have any arms? But he persevered. And he went to our college. And he went to the seminary. And he became a pastor. And he served a congregation. But he also specialized in ministering to wounded and crippled war veterans in a war veterans hospital. And how did he baptize? How did he baptize a baby? When someone explained how he did it, it touched my soul. He would go to the baptismal font. And because he had the service memorized, he didn't need any books. And all he asked was the parents would lift their child a little higher than usual over the baptismal font. And then he bent over, and with his lips, he kissed the waters of holy baptism in the font. And with the water still clinging to his lips, he kissed the forehead of that baby and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What could be more beautiful? What could be more holy? Now, I imagine early on in his life, this man might have said to himself, it probably would have been better if I hadn't even been born. But after his encounter with the risen Jesus, Jesus brought him life, abundant life, that no doubts of this world could ever overshadow. At the conclusion of his address to all the pastors and church workers, he read two passages of Scripture that he said were the theme for his life and ministry. And here's what he read. This is life, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and for me to live is Christ. Now that's life. And what should be our response then to the risen Jesus that gives us such life? With Thomas, we are to come to the place where Jesus is. Thomas had his fears and doubts, but he did not remain an island to himself. He went to the other place, to that room where the other disciples were gathered. And there Jesus came to meet him. With his nail-pierced hands and wounded side, Jesus personally came to meet Thomas, to speak to him his words of love and his undying promise. Thomas, peace be unto you. Yes, you. I am with you. And in the presence of his risen Jesus, Thomas's doubts melted away so that he could make this profession of faith we have recorded in Scripture, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. Thomas himself shows us how crucial it is for each of us on a constant basis to come to the place where Jesus is to meet with his disciples. Today, we call that place the church. Especially in worship, in the hearing of God's word preached, and the study of God's word in Bible class, is the place where Jesus comes as he promised when he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. My friends, do you want to deeply know and trust the presence of God, which alone can dispel your doubts and fears? Then come to the place where he is today with Thomas and all the rest. Come to this place where Jesus says to us, peace be with you. I am with you. Now, though the Bible is silent about this, church history records that doubting Thomas became the Apostle Thomas. He brought the Christian faith for the first time to the nation now we know as India. And there he built the first Christian church. And there he also gave his life as a martyr. willing to die for Jesus, than denounce his faith in his risen Lord. Thomas served Jesus with his last breath. Even the threat of death could not destroy his new faith in Jesus, his Lord. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated. The gates of heaven are open wide. This is the truth of Easter. This is the truth that dispelled Thomas's doubts. This is the truth of God which dispels our doubts today. All that is left is for us to join with Thomas, to join with the armless pastor, to join with all the saints of God, and to fall before Jesus and confess, "You are my Lord and my God." In the name of Jesus, amen.